It was tough being a Christian when Christianity first started. They were a very small group of disciples, and it was quite a struggle at times. They were kicked out of synagogues where they first gathered together. And as they grew, they were demonized as scapegoats, persecuted, and many were even martyred by the Roman government. It was a difficult time to be a Christian in those early years, so it was completely understandable for them to believe that God would soon wrap up history and bring about a new creation where they could finally be in peace in heaven. The Apostle Paul really thought that the end was near when he was writing to his churches. And because of his influence on so many people, because of his contact with all those churches, there was an expectation that was built up that Christ's second coming would arrive so very soon. And the book of Revelations, though written nearly 80 to 100 years after the Apostle Paul, still reflected that outlook of a minority group of people under persecution longing for when the new creation would come. And ever since, Christians, particularly when going through difficult times or when under persecution and suffering, have put great faith in the long-awaited coming of that day. And that longing has been expressed in different ways. How long, O Lord, how long, is one of the most well-known. And the other one, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. It is so completely understandable to feel that way, and in many ways, it's also a misunderstanding of what Jesus was trying to communicate. The majority of Jesus' teachings concerned the kingdom of God, and he emphasized that the kingdom, that kingdom of God, was right here, right now, in our very midst. And even when Jesus would talk about that day and its arrival, he emphasized that no one knows when that day will come, and so therefore, the only day we have to live is today, and to be ready, and to live this day in the presence of God's grace. Today, now, this moment is where the kingdom of God is. And so it is today, this day, now, this moment, where the new creation is taking place. It used to be thought that in the beginning, God created everything and then set creation running on its own. Like a clockmaker who would make the clock, wind it up, start it running, and then just let it be. But mystics and prophets throughout history, and now even quantum physicists, say that creation is ongoing, moment by moment, unfolding in this present moment. When the Apostle Paul says we are a new creation, the old has gone, the new has come, he is describing not just a one-time thing that happened. It is the description of what is continually happening in the present moment. But the present moment for many of us is often not where we are. We are instead living in the past or in the future. We spend our time longing for the good old days, wishing they could return, or we're living in regret of the things that we did and we are bothered by guilt. We live in the past by repeating stories about ourselves or about others, and we continue to rehearse old hurts or resentments, things done to us, blaming ourselves or others for our lot in life. Or we can live in the past, or we can live in the future, worrying about money or relationships, success or failure, what we're going to own and have. The unwillingness of our minds to let go of the past is humorously illustrated by the story of two Zen monks. Tanzan and Aikido were walking along a country road that had become extremely muddy because of heavy rains. Near a village, they came upon a young woman who was trying to cross the road, but the mud was so deep that it would have ruined the silk kimono she was wearing. One of the monks, Tanzan, at once picked her up and carried her to the other side. The monks then went on in silence. 5 hours later, as they were approaching the lodging temple, Aikido couldn't restrain himself any longer. "Why did you carry that girl across the road?" he asked. "We monks are not supposed to do things like that." Tanzan said in response, "Aikido, I put the girl down hours ago. Are you still carrying her?" When we live in the past or in the future, we are not present to the here and now, which is really the only moment we actually have, the only moment that actually can change anything, because the past is already done. There's nothing that can change that. And we can plan for the future, but there's always different things happening that always affect the future outside of our plans. So really, the present moment is really what we have. What would it mean for you and me to come into this present moment and to put our trust deeply in God's presence, not only with us, but in us? God not only has created us in God's image, but God is creating us, renewing us in God's image in this very moment, and this moment, and this moment. We are one with God. We are beloved sons and daughters of God right now, and right now, and right now. When we live in the past or live too much in the future, we tend to forget that we have all that we need right now in this moment. In the weeks following Easter, I will be preaching a series of sermons based on John Phillips Newell's book titled The Rebirthing of God, Christianity's Struggle for New Beginnings. His book is really about the new creation that God is always doing in our lives and in our world. I'd like to read a little bit from the introduction of his book just to give you a sense of this new creation that God is always working in us. He writes, "What does it mean that we are made of God rather than simply by God? In part, it means that the wisdom of God is deep within us, deeper than the ignorance of what we have done. It is to say that the creativity of God is deep within us, deeper than any barrenness in our lives or relationships, deeper than any endings in our families or our world. Within us, as a sheer gift of God, is the capacity to bring forth what has never been before, including what has never been imagined before." And when Elizabeth was leading our prayers, inviting us to believe that God answers our prayers in such amazing ways, I think that's exactly what she was getting at. Above all else, as Julian of Norwich says, the love longings of God are at the heart of our being. We and all things have come forth from the One. Deep within us are holy, natural longings for oneness, primal sacred drives for union. We may live in tragic exile from these longings, or we may have spent a whole lifetime not knowing how to truly satisfy them, but they are there at the heart of our being, waiting to be born afresh. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus speaks of the need to be born anew. This phrase, more familiarly rendered as born again, has been hijacked by religious fundamentalism to give the impression that we need to become something other than ourselves. The phrase has been applied so often to preach a turning from what is deepest within us and a denial of our human nature that many in the Christian household understandably have recoiled from its use. But the phrase needs to be reclaimed. It is close to the heart of Jesus' teachings and points to the necessity of what is deepest in us coming forth again. Its urgency speaks of what is at the heart of all things, made of God, being set free to emerge in radically new ways. The rebirthing of God is precisely this. It is pointing to a radical reemergence of the divine from deep within each one of us. We do not have to create it. We cannot create it, but we can let it spring forth and be reborn in our lives. We can be part of midwifing new holy births in the world. God's new creation is always now, and the only time that we can access it is the present moment, to become aware of God's life coursing in us, and to become present to it and open to it and invite God to show us what God is doing in us, to refresh, to recreate us in the present moment. In college, when I was involved with a group of guys called God Squad, we were a fellowship of Christian athletes, and we would go around to churches in Indiana and Illinois and Michigan and Ohio and take over a church service and sing, and only half of us could sing fairly well at best. But one of the things that we used to say to remind us to not get stagnant in our life, our faith, our sense of who we were about, is we called it the big L. The big L. And then we had a motion for it. Since Barry, you know, got us in our bodies, we can get in our bodies, the big L. And we said this because if we're holding on so tight to things that are ours, or thinking that, you know, I can't give love until I get love, that's not quite the way it works, because we realize that we have to let love go, love other people, and then that opens the gates, and then the God's love flows through us. So the big L is give out, love, be present in the moment, care, be grateful, notice beauty, all those kind of things that open us up. And then the love starts flowing through us. I think it's that way with the new creation as well. It's only in the present moment that we can open ourselves to see the beauty around us, be aware of the many gifts that we have, and to know, despite all the possessions or no possessions, all the prestige we have or none, that really what we have at the core of us, the thing that will only be there on our deathbed, is that we are God's creation. We are beloved sons and daughter, and no one can take that away from us. That's who we really are. And so to be in that place and know that, and to be able to kind of give that love, that attitude out into the world, that new creation starts flowing in us. And so the invitation is for us to be aware of the present moment that we're in, particularly when we're frustrated, or we're mad, or we find ourselves regretting something that happened 20 years ago, or holding a grudge that happened 30 years ago, or thinking 10 years ahead, what happens when I become 65? What am I going to do? To become present in the moment now, and to know that God is in you. You are of God. You are beloved. And to let that love flow in you and claim that new creation is happening within us now. We can let go of the past. We can let go of grudges. We can let go of old stories that we keep telling ourselves that are really not true, that's just our interpretation of what happened. Letting it go and letting us be present with God's life in us now. The kingdom of God is here now. The kingdom of God is that which Jesus invites us all into. We are the branches. All we need to do is abide in the vine. And really, the only way we can abide is by being present with God in this moment, who is in us and flowing through us. May it be so. Amen.